sometimes things just dovetail together without intent. In our sermon this morning, we talked about the prayer of Moses, where he asked God to teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom, Psalm 90 and verse 12. And the consciousness of the brevity of life will indeed help us to want to do that very thing. But without what we're talking about tonight, it's not likely we'll be successful. In Levi's prayer, some great request to our Heavenly Father that was made. A good prayer to say amen to. But again, without what we're talking about tonight, they may just be words on the air. We just sang the song, "Where He Leads, I Will Follow." Will we? Likely not, if we don't follow the course that we're exhorted to in our study tonight through the Holy Scriptures. And then at the end of our assembly, if the Lord is willing, we're going to sing "Trust and Obey." Great song, but will we? It likely depends on whether or not we have the attitude that we see God's people possessing throughout the Scriptures, those who are following God and doing His will. So let's look at some of those Scriptures tonight. Acts chapter 11 is where we'll start, in verse 23. Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Barnabas was sent to Antioch. The church in Jerusalem had heard that there were new Christians there. That's a good first step. But the question is, will they stay Christians? When the trials come along, when the temptations come along, when false doctrine makes its assault. So they sent Barnabas down there. And if you look in verse 23... it says, "When he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord." With resolute heart. Not just, maybe I will, maybe I won't, slide along from day to day and see what happens. The King James, New King James, say with purpose of heart. In fact, the pre-95 edition says that in the New American, with purpose of heart. And so what Barnabas was encouraging these new Christians to do, now you've become a Christian, determine, purpose, plan to serve the Lord. In the 17th Psalm, Psalm 17, you'll see again this concept. So while we're reading it over here in the book of Acts, you'll see it's not unique to Christians. It's been something that people who have determined to follow God have recognized the need from olden times. In Psalm 17, verse 3, here's a psalm of David, a prayer of David. What's he praying? Look at the last line in that verse. "I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress." It's not just let's see what happens, what I say, and of course what we say reflects what our heart is. I've made a plan, I've purposed, I've decided. Some versions translate it resolve. We sing a song, "I am resolved." I believe we did that this morning. "I am resolved." And that's what David said. Look at Psalm 119, 106. And I know that these verses, one would say what all of them say. I've put several simply for the sake of the cumulative force of saying that in passage after passage, in century after century, this has been a focal thought of those who are successful in serving God. The psalmist said, "I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances." So here we're beginning 2017. Will we keep God's commandments? we say, I hope so. Now, we use the word hope in a pretty loose way. We almost use it in the sense of wish. I wish that I will or want to do something. The word hope in the Bible is a stronger word. But note what he's saying. It's not simply I hope to. I have sworn. Some words say I have vowed to keep your commandments. As 2017 begins, if I'm going to be successful, I've got to vow, I've got to purpose, I've got to plan that this year I'm going to keep his commandments. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, one of the men in the entire scriptures that we hold in such high esteem because of his godliness. But look, even from the time that he was a young man, you see this in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. This is one of the things that contributed to this remarkable young man's success. Remember now, he's taken from his homeland, from his family. He's taken to a foreign land. He's given the name of an idolatrous god. He's sent to a pagan university, if you want to call it that, and educated in this pagan university. But he always remained true to God. Why? Look at verse 8. Daniel made up his mind. He made up his mind that he'd not defile himself. And so that was the key for Daniel. There was no question about it. He may have been as young as 15 to 18 years old. But even at that age, he had a resolve. We've got young people in our audience, some younger than that, maybe 8, 10, 12. As these young people get older, teenage years, it's a good time to make up your mind how you're going to spend your life, who you're going to serve. That's what Daniel did. And if you want to be successful, that's what you've got to do. The King James, New King James says here, purposed in his heart. And again, another version says he resolved. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. You can see as you look over at this passage that this concept of resolve and purpose applies to every facet of our service to God. As you're aware, chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians have to do with giving, with a contribution that was being raised for needy Christians. And then the apostle takes time to talk about God's plan for Christians and their giving. It certainly applies to the circumstance that was present, but it would apply to any God-authorized work that we contribute to. Look in chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart. Here's 2017. What are you going to give? So, I don't know. I'll see what I got left over. Is that this? I'll see what I got in my pocket when the tray's passed. Is that this? In 2017, we need to be thinking, here's what I plan to do and here's why I plan to do it. We need to know why we're giving. We need to look at our total income and make a plan and a resolve to have a fellowship and participation in the work of the Lord. That's God's plan. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is very interesting to me because Paul is writing to a young preacher. Paul is at the end of his life. He's in prison. He's going to die there. But when you look back on Paul's life, as you find it in the book of Acts, he's a remarkable man. He faced trial. He faced persecution. He faced those who tried to stop him. He totally changed his life. So far as we know, he was successful all the way through. Look at this as he comes to the close of his life and he talked to this young preacher working in the church at Ephesus, who also would face difficulties, as you see in the first part of the chapter. But look at what he says here in verse 10. You followed my teaching. Conduct. What's that third word? My purpose. You followed my purpose. Paul lived life with a purpose. When he recognized that Jesus was the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, and he went to Damascus, and there he was told to be baptized to wash away his sins. He purposed from that moment on to serve the Lord, whatever consequences may follow. And that's why he was so successful. And so it's this purpose and this resolve and this resolute heart that we find throughout the Scripture. So here we are on the first day of 2017.
when we get to the first day or the last day of this year, the first day of 2018, will we have kept the prayer we prayed with Levi? Will we have trusted and obeyed? Will we have followed Jesus? It'll largely depend on whether or not today, tomorrow, and the next day, we purpose, we plan, we resolve to serve the Lord. Psalm 119, go back to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, 106, it sums it up for us. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? I will keep your righteous ordinances. Now, we are here on the first day of 2017, and we're talking about resolve. But you know that you already made that resolve. This morning, when that bread was passed and that tray was passed, if you partook of those elements, what you were saying is, I'm in fellowship with Christ. I believe in Christ. I made a commitment to Christ. Well, in order to do that, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you had to repent. When these people ask in verse 37, what shall we do? These are believers. What shall we do? The first thing they were told is, you've got to repent. Repent has to do with what we're talking about tonight. It has to do with the will. There's the intellect, they believed. There's the emotions, they were pricked in their heart, or the conscience. But here's the will, the purpose of man. And in order to become a Christian, you don't become a Christian accidentally. You can believe in Jesus. You can be sorry for your sins. Somebody can baptize you in water and you won't be a Christian. Unless there's a purpose and resolve to serve Jesus as Lord. That's what repentance is about. And so you see, when we became Christians, that's what we did. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Paul said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. You know what Lord means, master, ruler. So you're confessing, he's my ruler, he's my master. I resolve to serve him and to do his commandments. You made that confession before someone baptized you in water, I trust. And so this is nothing new. The question is, will we remain in that commitment? We started our study tonight with the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, so let's turn back to that passage in chapter 11 and verse 23. He said, he encouraged them all with a resolute heart to do what? To remain true. To remain true to the Lord. And they spent, he went and got Saul, and they spent a year there teaching, as we find in verse 26. And the disciples were called Christians in Antioch for the first time. And that church became a center for the gospel of Christ. All three of Paul's preaching journeys went from that place. We find that there were preachers and teachers in Antioch. How much of that was the result of Barnabas' work to cause these people to serve the Lord, remain true to the confession they made with a resolute heart and with purpose? Now, let's talk about some applications about this. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, you're familiar with this text. You remember that Jesus is warning about a danger that confronts us all. And Rocky preached about this last Sunday night. He preached about materialism and talked about how this time of the year it's a real threat. We get so wrapped up in things that we can easily lose our focus. Jesus was warning about materialism in this very text, in this great sermon. And instead of concentrating on our earthly riches, on those things that we deem necessary, food and clothing, look what he said in verse 33. He didn't say, seek the kingdom of God. That's not what he said. He said in verse 33, seek first. That's priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. It doesn't happen accidentally. It's by purpose and by resolve that you make it first. There's always the threat that that will not be the case. Look at Mark chapter 4. It's not that we just say, I don't love the Lord anymore. It's not that we just say, I'm not proud that I obeyed the gospel or that that's not important to me. We just get caught up in the affairs of life if we don't have a plan and have a purpose. Jesus is talking about the seed sown on different kinds of soil. And you remember one of the kinds of soil was what he called the thorny ground, where the seed fell among thorns. He then explains what it means in verse 19.
The worries of the world, is that sinful? Not necessarily. The deceitfulness of riches, are riches sinful? No, they were rich Christians. There's nothing wrong with being rich. But they can be deceptive. They can get you off track. They can make promises that they cannot deliver. The desires, now this is very broad, the third thing. The desires for other things. What might that be? It may just be a hobby. It may be a career. It may be something else that you're just interested in.
There's only 24 hours a day, only 7 days a week. Are we going to seek the kingdom of God first? Are we going to put it back there somewhere? It'll get its place somewhere along the line. Or do we plan and purpose? No, before all those other things and before the riches and before these other things that tend to worry our minds and burden our hearts, first thing, my purpose is in 2017 to put the rule of Christ first in my life. But you see that warning. Now, look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In purposing to put the kingdom first, what are some of the things that I can do to make that come to pass? Look at Colossians 1, verse 9.
For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask you to be... Now, let me skip down just a moment to verse 10, and I'll back up to 9. What's he talking about? He's praying so that they will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
A manner worthy of the Lord, obviously, because I know what the Lord taught, Matthew 6:33, is that He is first in our lives.
Now, Paul is praying that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. But now, how do you accomplish that? How do you get to that end? Look at verse 9. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. If we're serious about what we sang and what we prayed and what we're going to sing at the end of this assembly, if we live, the Lord is willing, and we want to put the Lord first and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, we're going to have a plan and a purpose to fill our hearts with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's what I understand this prayer to say. That's what I'm praying for, so that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And he goes on to explain that you'll please Him in all respect. You'll be bearing fruit in every good work. You'll be strengthened according to His power. All the kind of things we want. But you see, it's conditioned on this verse 9. What's your plan? Do we purpose to do that?
Or we just get the scraps that come along the way, maybe on Sunday morning occasionally or Wednesday night or something like that? Well, what's our plan to be filled with the knowledge of His will? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
There's not one person in this audience that would deny the fact that we need to be people who pray.
Look at this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:16.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. What's the last phrase in that verse?
For this is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus. In 2017, do we purpose to pray devotedly? I could say every day, and I think that would be fair. But really, that doesn't encompass it all. Prayer ought to be a part of our lives, not just once a day, but maybe several times throughout the day. Pray, if we are really serious about this resolve, will we be prayerful people? In the past week, in the past month, in the past year, have we done this right here? And if not, maybe that's why we had difficulty in our desire to walk in a righteous way. You know that the men we talked about, Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day. Paul, successful, living a purposeful life. You know he prayed regularly. Jesus was given to prayer. And we see it over and over again. And if we want to be successful, we better purpose to give our lives to prayer. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. In seeking the kingdom of God first, I want to have Christ rule in my heart. Well, look at this admonition beginning in verse 8. Remember that these people are living in an ungodly society. There's all kind of temptations and there's trials. They've left a lifestyle that had made a big change in their lives, and they're having oppression from their past associates as they maligned them for their change. And in verse 8, he said, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see that one another, one another, one another. If I purpose to live godly, here is a plan, and that is to be involved in serving my brethren. And the more I'm involved in that, the more I will be served. Now note in verse 11, at the end of the verse, so that. Remember, we started with Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God first. But be involved in serving one another so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus or through Jesus Christ. I want to put Christ first, okay? Are we going to be serving our brethren, using whatever abilities, whatever possessions, whatever time we have to be involved with brethren? It may be in 2016 we did little of that. I don't know. Maybe we just did it as things come along. If we're going to do this, you know how it's going to happen? Your plan. Your purpose. You say, okay, I'm going to get the calendar out and on this day I'm going to do this. Or whatever. However you want to do it. But you plan it. Your purpose to do it. And that's what we find in all of these passages. So we just ask the question, here we are in 2017, what will it be when we get to 2018? About Christ being the focus and center of our life, and that reflected in our speech and in our conduct. Look over at 1 Corinthians 6:18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Flee, this version says immorality. Some say fornication. Immorality is a little bit broad. It's not just any kind of immorality. It's sexual immorality, and some versions translate it that way. It's the things that people do with a prostitute or with a harlot, as you can see back up in the verse 16. Those kinds of actions is what he's talking about. So he said, flee immorality. Well, okay. So I know I need to do that. What's your plan? What's your purpose? Let me just ask you this. I don't think I have it on the chart, but while we're looking at this, look at Mark 14:29. Mark 14:29. One of the reasons good people who have confessed the name of Jesus, people who may have lived righteous lives for some time, fall to prey to immorality is because of this Peter complex. Verse 29, when Jesus told the apostles, you're going to all deny me, Peter said, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. Because he believed that, later on, when Jesus was being arrested, and then he would be tried, Peter had not made the preparations he needed to make. He didn't think he'd fall away, so he didn't do what Jesus said, watch and pray. And because he didn't make the preparations, the precautions, he wasn't ready. And if we think, I will never commit immorality, that's just not something that'll ever happen to me. The devil loves to hear you say that, if that's what you believe. That's the difference in that and saying, I purpose, I plan, I resolve, I vow never to commit immorality. That's good. But when you realize it can happen, and then you plan and purpose that it won't happen, you take some measures to see that it won't happen. And one of them is right here in this verse. You flee. That's our word from which we get our word fugitive. You stay away from those things and those people that would induce or seduce you to participate in immorality. Romans chapter 13. Look at Romans chapter 13. Verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. You got not. We say check, check, check. But where's the emphasis lie? Look at the next word. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Don't provide opportunity. You're purposing. So what are you going to do? You get in there on the computer. I'm on the computer from the time I get up in the morning till I go to bed at night throughout the day. And you get on your computer, you may get an email, or you may go to a website. There's a little picture over there. They want you to click on it. You know you should click on it. There's an invitation to something, maybe in your email. You know you shouldn't click on that. If you've purposed to flee immorality, you say, that's the path I do not want to follow. I'll not do that. Same thing with the television, what you watch. There's all kind of filthy stuff. People that have cable and direct TV, there's all kind of filthy shows you can watch. People make the mistake the people did in the time of Ezekiel. Well, I'm in my house, it's dark, nobody knows, as if the Lord doesn't see. Sure he sees. But the way to avoid those things leading us to do things that we otherwise wouldn't do is the purpose in the outset to flee immorality. So I'm not going to participate in that. What about our associations? Look at Proverbs chapter 5. You see this very concept. Back in Proverbs 5 in these wise warnings. Remember the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 5, he's talking about the adulteress who would seduce people to commit immorality with her. Look what the advice is in verse 8. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. That may mean, in common application, don't go eat lunch with her. That may mean, don't take a trip with her. That may mean, don't ever find yourself alone with her. That may mean, if she invites you, say no. Maybe something that in and of itself is innocent. Keep your foot away from her. But why? Because I already made a commitment. I've already resolved to flee immorality. And there are people out there that will try to get you to participate in that. So stay away from those kind of associations. In chapter 7 and verse 7, the writer said, I saw among the naive and deserted among the youths a man lacking sense, passing the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. Was that the only street available? If this young man had been living by the resolve to flee immorality and he knew she lived on that corner, what kind of woman she was, you reckon he'd have went somewhere, another direction? Maybe it'd have been out of the way. But he could have saved his life and saved his morality and saved his character because he'd already had the resolve. He didn't have to decide then about her. He's already decided. He's already resolved. I'm going to flee immorality. So you avoid those places and those circumstances, whatever those may be, that may entice to this particular practice. Will we be successful? Remember what we read in Daniel 1:8? Go back and look at that just a moment. Look back in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Yes, we read it a moment ago where it says Daniel made up his mind, but there's another part to that verse I want to call to your attention. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, he made up his mind that he would not defile himself. Now, he wasn't talking about immorality here. He was talking about food, food that he would not eat, possibly food that was identified in some way with idolatry. I don't know. Maybe that was the idea. But Daniel says, I'm not going to defile myself. And if we have that resolve, I'm going to keep myself pure. If married, I'm going to keep myself pure for my mate. If not married, I'm going to keep myself pure for the Lord. In both cases, for the Lord. And so flee immorality. To be successful, you don't just take every day and see what happens. You make a resolve. You purpose. I'm going to do the things that will enable me to be successful. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be resolved. I'm going to trust and obey. I'm determined to do that. One other area that I want to just call our attention to. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul is writing to the Philippian church. You know, in the first verse, he talks about the elders and deacons and saints. So here's a great passage about the local church. And he says in verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are doing what? Standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Note that one spirit with one mind, striving together. Is that our purpose for the new year? To be a devoted team member. To share in the common purpose of having the gospel rule our hearts and lives, increasing our knowledge of it, looking for the opportunity to spread it, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, the church at Philippi, there's some slight indications. There may have been some rumbling, some discord. Not anything serious. But in chapter 2:14, do all things without grumbling and complaining. He doesn't deal with that specifically. But you will note in chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. So there may have been, if you were a member of the church at Philippi, you may have known a couple women who maybe sometimes had a problem living in harmony. But it was a good church. And every church is going to have some rough spots, bumps in the road. What will you do? Will you be faithful to participate? Or will, when trouble comes along and you find somebody that disappoints you, just kind of give up on the work? Not if you've made a determination. I'm going to be part of this team. I'm going to work together with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I'm not going to let people who may not reach the goal they ought to reach or not be what they ought to be. And we all have weaknesses and we'll all disappoint. But I've got this purpose in mind. I'm on this team and I'm going to work. So, what am I going to do? Over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, it's about a collection that was being taken up for those in need. But there's a little statement there I want you to note about that Jerusalem church. It says, the congregation of those who believe were of one heart and one soul. And that's why that collection was so successful. They were all on the same page. There was that resolve to work together to meet this particular need. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica and exhorts them relative to those who are their leaders. He said, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate. Your version may say know in the sense of appreciate, understand and appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live it in peace among yourselves. And so if we're dedicated to the team, we appreciate those who are leading and may sometimes have to give us exhortation or rebuke. But they're doing that to help us achieve this goal. So I've got some possible suggestions here on the chart how this can play out in practice. If I am resolved to have one mind, strive together, how many of the assemblies will I attend? If a football player is resolved to be the best team member he can,
to support the team effort, to do everything he can so they'll win. How many practices will he go to? How many games will he miss because there's a TV show on that he wants to watch? So when it comes to Sunday night and Wednesday night, you don't have to decide, should I go? You've already made that up. You've already made that your mind up about that. I want to strive together. And whatever I can do, we've got a gospel meeting coming up. This is not the elders' gospel meeting. It's something we all agreed on. And so, consistent in assemblies, consistent in classes. You know, the way people sometimes attend Bible classes is like a snaggletooth person. They got a tooth and they got one missing. They got a tooth and they got two missing. That's kind of where they go to Bible class. I don't get anything out of those classes. Well, if you went to college and you missed half the classes, you probably wouldn't pass the course either. And you can't be here every time. Sickness, be out of town, various other things. But we make recordings. And these classes are designed to help us reach our goals. That's what they're for. That's what the elders have planned them for. And so if I've already got the resolve, I'm on this team. I'm going to be devoted to it. I'm going to try to be consistent in the classes. I'm going to be on time. We've got a real problem here. I'm not saying it's sin, but it's a problem. In 2003, I had cancer surgery. And so I had to sit in a Bentwood rocker there in the back for a while. It's a wonder I'm here. Because after time starts, man, there's a parade of folks that come in. Why can't we get here on time? Are you always late for work? He said, well, it just happened. But if you have been resolved to be part of this team, to strive together, and you know we meet at 9:30, maybe you ought to resolve to be here at 9:20 or 9:15. If we had that resolve, would it change our plans when we leave the house? These are just some things to think about and how it may impact our working together. On Wednesday night, we have our Bible classes, then we come back in here. And we sing, and somebody has a few words of exhortation. Some people leave. I'm not saying they're going to hell for that. That's not what my purpose is. I'm saying, is that consistent with a resolve that I'm going to share the spirit of this group in striving together for the faith of the gospel? And if coming back in the here and having this exhortation in songs is part of it, then I want to be a part of that. If that's not profitable, get with the elders. Let's see, maybe we need to do something different. But you're part of a team, and it's this resolve and purpose that can make a difference.
Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 highlights for us the danger. We become Christians. We have good intents. We confess the name of Jesus. Revelation 2:4 says the church at Ephesus, Jesus said, you've left your first love. They're not standing where they once stood. You left your first love. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16 about the church at Laodicea, he said, you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. That wasn't the way it was when they obeyed the gospel. It just happened over time. Lost maybe that resolve, lost that focus and that purpose. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, we talked in our lesson this morning that life is brief. And that's true. Our purpose needs to be, in whatever brevity of life God in His grace gives us, that I'm going to be purposed and focused to the very end. And maybe if we realize it's brief, it'll help us to do that. And here's a man. We're reading his last letter that he ever penned, so far as we know. He's in prison. From the time he obeyed the gospel, I'm not sure of his age now, it's probably been 30 years or better since he obeyed the gospel, something like that. But the man has been consistent, but it's all the way to the end. Remember, he said he lived with purpose. He told Timothy that in chapter 3. In chapter 4, verse 8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. But why? Verse 7, I fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I've kept the faith. All the way to the end. There's that purpose and resolve. You know, in your job, you retire and kind of sit back. There's no retirement from the Lord's service. You stay serving to the very end. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, 11 and 12. He said, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish." You start off with fire and zeal, but then it wanes. Let's get back to that resolve to put the Lord first. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40 and 41, when Peter preached that sermon, it said, "With many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this perverse or crooked generation." Those that received his word were baptized, Acts 2 and 41. They were baptized that day. But would they remain? That's the question. That's where it needs to start, with receiving that word and obeying the gospel. But then, living that brief life. James says our life is but a vapor, James 4 and 14, that appears for a little while. And that life needs to be dedicated to serving our Master. We're going to sing the song, Trust and Obey. Great song. Will it be true at the end of 2018, if we live, that we look back and say, "You know, I have trusted and I have obeyed"? The answer to that question then may well depend upon our resolve today. Think about that. If we can help someone in their resolve to serve the Master, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.